Oh, baby, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. I'm, of course, the host, Flex Shane, with my main guy, Brandon Adam. Brandon, the 2024 NFL Draft is officially in the books. How the hell are you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I'm so excited. This is when it finally is, everything's kind of real, and we can kind of really dive into it without speculating at all anymore, and that's the fun part. Is I hate when we have to argue when we're speculating. Now we can kind of like nail down a target share. We can kind of nail down a role with some of these guys, and we can kind of work it out on how we're going to draft and how we're going to destroy our competition in rookie drafts this year and who we're going to get above ADP, because the opportunity is just too good, but people think it's a crowded backfield. A little bit of a hint.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, we definitely need to talk about the running backs and how we feel about them in a rookie drafts, as well as like maybe we can dabble a little bit of best ball talk at the end of the show. Primarily, today we want to focus, of course, on our instant reactions slash we've had a little bit of time now to digest where some of these players landed. We're starting to put together the skeleton of our rookie drafts, including tiering, right? I think it's really important for me when I'm building my my draft board, Brandon, to have tiers so that you understand, okay, do I want to trade up? Do I want to trade back? Like, it's so important when you're doing any draft to have tiers, right? So we'll kind of talk through that. And really what I want to accomplish on today's show, Brandon, is let's figure out the players that we agree on. I think you'll agree the first 10 or so picks in rookie drafts, as we expected going into the NFL draft, is going to be pretty chalky, right? There's going to be the same faces in those first 10 picks. It's just a matter of who you prefer one or the other. But for the most part, there's not going to be a ton of surprises. It's really at the back part of round one, and frankly, all of round two, it's wide open right now. And I'm willing to be convinced, because we're at the point, Brandon, and we'll give you a sec here to kind of digest this thought, but we're at the point now where we are starting to dissect talent versus opportunity. And that is the age-old question in fantasy football. We saw it last year, right, with the Seahawks, with Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Jigba. This year, there's going to have a few question marks in year one for Romo Odunze. How high are we willing to take him out of rookie drafts? But we talked about the start of the show, and I think, listen, it's a fantasy football show. So the idea of like how a team should build around and build up into a competing team, there's lots of ways to do that. But ultimately, the most shocking, disappointing, and frankly embarrassing pick of the draft, Brandon, was
Michael Penix going to Atlanta. That kind of ruined a lot of super flex values in leagues across the board, because he was my QB3 of the class. And now I can't draft him within that. It's not going to happen. But I think if you are one of those, let's just say you're a consistent winner in your leagues, that is a guy I am willing to burn a pick on to throw in your taxi spot for a year or two, or wherever your rules are. Just throw him in and just forget about him and act like he is just an investment, like in the stock market, and just sit on him for 2 years and just pray that you profit from it. Cause you will at some point. The day he starts is the day his value literally doubles and instantly. But right now you're going to have to wait till you're outside the first round to take him and feel decent about it.
Here's the challenge with that, okay? There are so many more people playing Dynasty nowadays, which we love, of course, right? Like, we've been diehard Dynasty players now for many years. We love it. I believe it's the best type of fantasy game you can play in the fantasy space. It's my absolute favorite. Hence why we're recording this on April 28th, many, many months before the NFL season actually starts. But it's very, very tough, because so many people are now starting to play this dynasty game from the redraft game, Brandon. It feels like there's no patience anymore, right? No. People are already calling JSN a bust. They're saying, if you can get rid of JSN, get rid of him.
You're out of your mind. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, that's
I'm buying, right? But like, if you're a real dynasty player, you're looking for guys that were buried on depth charts their first year, and going into their sophomore season. Those are the guys I'm looking for. The guys like the Drake Londons that just never produced because of things outside of his control. That is not his fault. That is not Jason's fault.
At least at least London was starting.
Yes.
Could potentially be on the bench for 2 years.
I know it. I get it. But that is what Jordan Love guy, every Jordan Love owner I know that held on Jordan Love right now is so thankful they did, because the cost to acquire him, once it was clear that Aaron Rodgers was gone, he was ungettable at that point, because you can never, you know, buy him at a decent price anymore. But like, this is the time where you invest into those quarterbacks, let them marinate on benches, and especially when you're winning, you're winning franchise in your leagues, that is the perfect guy you go get.
Perfect. So this is where I have him baked in as of this moment in time right now, in my rookie rankings, Brandon. This is, of course, Superflex. I am currently sitting at the 2.6, which effectively means, assuming you don't do any trade picks, like pick trading, you probably just missed out on the playoffs last year. Okay. So that means you might have a good team. It might mean you have a developmental team. So if you're picking a player there, I'm kind of okay with it. If you want to take them significantly cheaper or sooner than that, even like late round one, to me, that cost of capital is way too high. I'll tell you who I have currently ahead of them. All right. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a tier right above them. So I've got Xavier Leggett, Trey Benson, Keon Coleman, Bo Nix, because he's a starter, and then Jonathan Brooks. Those are the five players I've got ahead of him currently in round two. Is there anybody out that stands out there like that you think, no, I would rather take Penix ahead of one of those guys? Maybe a Trey Benson now?
No, I think that's appropriate for where he's supposed to go right now.
Yeah.
I think that's appropriate. But if you're bullish on this, so I thought the comp for him was almost Matthew Stafford-esque. That is the type of arm talent this guy has, and or a Stroud deep ball thrower, that kind of guy. I think this guy is legit. I really do. So I'm willing to go above ADP to land him. If I'm a winning franchise, if you got the 110, the 112, trade back. Just trade back. Get the value and then get Penix as well, and then trade for need later on after the drafts. That's what I would do if I had the 110, the 112. If I needed a quarterback in the future. But this guy's talent is through the roof, dude. Like, I mean, and also Kirk Cousins has a lot of questions to still answer. I mean, the guy tore his Achilles, and it wasn't his front foot Achilles, it was his plant foot Achilles. This is the drop back foot that he tore. Like, this is the one that's going to take a ton of pressure at the bottom, at the top of his back pedal every single snap, every time and when he gets sacked, he's going to be pushing off of that every single time. So there, and he's older, man. There's a reason why there's only guaranteed money in his contract for the first 2 years. They can move off him and trade and cut him after 2 years and not owe him a dime. So that is why they were willing to do what they were going to do, because I think they knew that Penix was going to start in 2 years from this year.
Okay, so let's think through this a little bit, okay? So let's go back to free agency period. And there's that time leading up to the official free agency where it's the legal tampering period. Kirk Cousins was one of the very first contracts signed right at that legal tampering spot, which – basically suggests they didn't, I mean, assuming they didn't, you know, bend a lot of rules, which based off that initial press conference by Kirk, which is causing issues probably potentially for next year's draft, but I digress. Technically speaking, the Atlanta Falcons should not have had any interaction with Kirk Cousins before that, meaning they would not have had access to his medical records. Do you think it's possible they took a leap of faith? They said, listen, we believe we're a quarterback away from competing. The best guy on the market right now is an aging quarterback, just towards Achilles, but when he's healthy, he's pretty good. Therefore, let's take the risk. Let's take the gamble. We gotta sense, like, he's very savvy. He needs his cash. We're going to pay the guy. But when they finally got him into the building, like, oh, crap. Like, this Achilles is a bigger issue than we thought it was going to be. Maybe he's not healing as much as they thought it was going to be. And then you big onto the fact that once you've torn one Achilles, the probability of tearing the other Achilles is significantly higher. Sorry, Jets fans. That applies to Mr. Aaron Rodgers as well, right? So when you bring all that stuff into the equation, and then you go to the fact that they were obviously very impressed by Michael Penix in the interview process, right? That's what won him over.
Yeah. Won them over. The guy is a dog, dude. I love him.
So kind of get it. But here's my question to you, Brandon. How comfortable are you drafting Kirk Cousins in, let's just say, like a best ball right now? Like, rough numbers without actually ranking, QB 15, QB 16 at this point, which is kind of where he was going already.
Yes. Yes. His draft position does not change. What I would do is, if I have him, especially in best ball, I just draft Michael Penix. He's going to drop no matter what anyways. So I just feel like it's easy to back him up and handcuff him, especially in a best ball situation. If you're in dynasty, I would go get Penix. Still, I would do everything in my power to get Kirk, even if I have to pay a little bit more to get him, because you're guaranteed a guy that's going to absolutely, you know, walk into a great offense with great weapons. So that's what I like. I like the move, to be honest. We talked on our pre-draft show. We talked about Penix to Atlanta, because I mentioned on the show that I heard that from Rich Eisen, from he was being told through the rumor mill that this was a possible thing that's going to happen, and people weren't believing it. People just thought it was a ploy to get people to trade up to him. But really, everybody should have been trading with Tennessee. Everybody should have been trading for Tennessee. And the Raiders are so stupid to not just go to the Tennessee Titans and pay whatever the fuck they wanted to get Penix on that roster. Because honestly, I like Gardner Minshew. I mean, he's a great personality. He can play a little bit, but he is not the answer. Penix was right there for him. They just had to be aggressive, and they didn't do it. And I feel like they lost the draft so bad this year, in my opinion. Even though they got a great talent in Brock Bowers, I get that. But I just think they have so much egg on their face. It's just disgraceful. But we can move on from this subject for sure,
though. Okay, let's talk really quickly about the Chargers, the Raiders, because let's talk about the Raiders really quick, because that is ultimately where Brock Bowers went, and Michael Mayer is there. Michael Mayer, I mean, this has probably been discussed a million times, but Michael Mayer is an inline tight end, aka a blocking tight end. Brock Bowers is going to play the slot wide receiver, right?
He's a big ass slot wide receiver.
So I'm not too worried about where I have him ranked. I'm pretty comfortable with that. But then you go down. One of my favorite values of the draft was Dylan Lauby going at the end of round 6 at pick 632. To me, like, that's a hell of a good pick, right?
Dude, I went bananas when I saw that go across the ticker. I love Dylan Lauby because he's got size and he can catch the football, and everybody is so out on him just because he's a Caucasian playing in the NFL. And that's the only reason why this is happening. And if you just literally look at him stats for stats, he's one of the most explosive running backs in this draft class. And he has legitimate NFL starter size. And man, I love him. I think he's a great value. I've never been a big Zamir White guy. You have. Like him a lot. So up until Dylan Lauby was going there, I was saying in our chat that Zamir White is probably one of the biggest winners of the RB position in fantasy football. And then once Lauby went there, I'm telling you, this guy is going to be on the field in third downs. Mm-hmm. And then when he's on the field and he makes plays, by week 8, it's going to be a 50-50 deal, dude. I'm telling you, 50-50, and they're going to really have a hard time keeping Lauby off the field.
He is the absolute perfect complement to Zamir White. Because I think, when I try to comp Zamir White, a guy that I think, because there's plotters out there, but he's a little bit better than a plotter. He's like David Montgomery. That's how I kind of think of Zamir White in my brain, right? And so then David Montgomery can be very good. He can play three downs, which we saw Zamir White do last year, but he's probably better not. He's a goal line back and plays first and second down. You get a guy like Dylan Lauby, who isn't tiny, right? Like, he's still, like you said, 5'10", 206 pounds. So he's not a small dude.
He's bigger than that.
Well, he weighed in at 5'10", 206. That's 5'10", 206.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Which I think still he plays bigger than that. I think he lost weight for the combine. I think he plays at 215-ish. He's rocked up during the season. He's rocked up.
Yeah, and he's number 11 out of the class. This is according to playerprofiler.com in terms of his overall athleticism. His best comparable is Chase Edmonds. And forever, the fantasy community loved Chase Edmonds. Never really came to fruition, but Dylan Lauby has a wide open depth chart at this point. He's an absolute steal in draft. I'll show you where he's Austin Eckler.
I think he's Austin Eckler. You know who drafted Austin Eckler? Tom Telesco, the same dude that drafted Dylan Lauby.
There you go. No, he's going to be very, very good. Again, just preliminary rankings. I am currently at 4.2. I think I got to get him right up into round three there.
Oh,
I've got Audric Estime.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I've got Audric Estime right around 3.7. I've got him way ahead of consensus rankings currently because I think Estime is actually better than he if you watch his tape, he looks to be more athletic than the way he performed at the combine. But he's
quicker than fast, that's all.
Yeah, yes, that's a good way to put it, Brandon. So Dylan Lauby, we got to work on this, but yeah, I got to get him right around the Audric Estime area. I mean,
you're not going to get him in drafts with me, brother. I'm going to steal him mid third for sure.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I've got Estime 3.7. I've currently have Ray Davis, who's drafted to the Buffalo Bills. I love that one. Do you want to talk about Ray Davis a little bit?
Go for it. You can talk about him if you like. If you're high on him, I'm not high on him. I've never been high on him. I'm not high on him. I guess I'm kind of neutral on Ray Davis. I think he's a jag, to be honest. But that's just me. But I just feel I get what you're – James Cook, Josh Allen to deal with on the end zone red zone runs, man. I'm telling you, James Cook is – he just got going. They aren't going to yank a bunch of work away from James Cook after he got it going last year. But if the fumbling continues for Cook
– yes.
If the fumbling continues, Ray Davis ain't going to fumble the football. He's not. So I could see that's the only time where James Cook can start – his share can start paring down if he starts making more and more mistakes with more work. But I just feel like I don't want a running back with a Jalen Hurts. I don't want a running back with Anthony Richardson. Yeah. I don't want a running back with Lamar Jackson. I don't want a running back with anybody that can rush like that with like Josh Allen and those other guys. And Caleb Williams is borderline Jalen Hurts along inside the 10. He is going to get 10 rush touchdowns a year. So Swift is going to get totally screwed again this year from their quarterbacks.
Yeah, boy, Clip's coming in hot saying, well, not really hot, but saying James Cook's going to cook this year.
I love it. I've been high on Cook all offseason. Yeah. This is the year that I've been in on him. I drafted him in our startup clip. You know that. And I love Cook. I think last year was a big shift in philosophy. It's the same philosophy that the Chargers are going through right the fuck now. Except with Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, there was more talent. But with what Jim Harbaugh has done, it's going to be just like what the Bills looked like in the later half of the year, okay? I don't see big ceiling years coming for any passing option for the Chargers or even Herbert. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to be buying a Ladd McConkey. I think Ladd can grow into a great player. I really do. He just needs to prove to me that he can stay on the damn field, man. He's been hurt a lot. And that's because he's in a lot of blocking formations and he blocks and he's small. So he gets rolled up on, he gets hammered, and sometimes it happens. That's why Ladd McConkey is a Charger, because this guy has zero diva in him, and he's not going to complain when he literally has to block. They're going to run it 70% of the time, I'm telling you. Like, they are going to run it, and it's going to be old school. Think about Russ when he first came in. That's what the Chargers are going to look like. That's the Chargers. Okay. It's going to be that way with less talent on the outside. And I think it's going to be heavy, heavy, heavy rush offense. But I think Ladd is going to be good, though.
So speaking of the Chargers, we talked about it before the draft. We want to see a running back go to the Chargers. And whichever running back that is, even though they got J.K. Dobbins, we want to draft that running back. How high is too high, Brendan, to draft your guy, Kimani Vidal?
I'm going to get him anywhere from 308 to 312.
Okay, I currently have 312. Yeah. That's exactly where I have him currently.
Dude, I think this guy is – the more and more I hear about him, there's a lot of smart people on him that are in the fantasy industry pre-draft, and the fit is really nice in Charger land. I have zero faith in J.K. Dobbins. I'm a J.K. Dobbins guy. That was my dude. I love J.K. Dobbins. That's why I am not surprised that they got Vidal, because that is the same archetype, same similar kind of guy. And that makes so much sense for scheme. It's unreal. So if J.K. Dobbins goes down, Vidal is going to be he's going to be that guy that you're going to scoop up off waivers and you're going to never take him out of your lineup.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it. The guy that we comped into him was Isaiah Pacheco. He's just a heavy running.
Except downhill, he can catch the football a little bit better.
And he's got some soft hands. Yeah, I know. Kimani Vidal's awesome. Hey, but do you want to go through kind of my tiers? Let's just talk through it.
Go for it.
Let's go top to bottom. So, okay, let's start off with tier one. Now, again, this is based off of the formats that we always play in, which is Superflex, tight end premium. Okay.
Yes.
So this is what I've got real quick here for tier one. What's that? Sorry. Always. You must. It must be always. Done. Okay, so for my tier one, I've got Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. Any debates there in that order? But I'm comfortable if you take either or. Generally speaking, just for the people,
Caleb Williams, Marvin.
I mean, I don't know.
Sorry, I am Marvin. I think Marvin's a top five wide receiver next year in redraft. I think he is going to absolutely smash like Chase did coming out. And I think he's going to walk into a massive target share. And I know what he's going to do with it. I'm so high on Kyler Murray, Marvin Harrison. I think it's awesome. I'm all in. But Caleb in Dynasty Startup, Caleb is one, and it's solid for me. I'm not taking Marvin Moore.
Me too. I've got him in the same tier because I would be okay, but I'm definitely taking Caleb 101 as well. Then I've got Marv. In my tier two, it's also a small tier. I've got Malik Nabers and then Jaden Daniels in that order. Do you have any issues with that?
I think I got Jaden Daniels at three. And then Malik? I think there's a discussion. I know your tier. I get the tier. The tier makes sense.
Yep.
But there is a discussion about JJ going ahead of Nabers if you have need at QB. Okay. There is a major discussion. I'm not a JJ McCarthy guy. Okay. I've been very clear about that pre-draft. I have my concerns. But who the hell am I to say anything about the, you know, like JJ McCarthy could be a great quarterback. And even if I didn't like him coming out, it doesn't matter. The Vikings took him, and the Vikings, and with quarterbacks, 60% of it is situation and coaching. Yeah. Situation and coaching means more to me than actually the player, almost, in my opinion, for success. If the guy has tools and he's got great coaches around him and talent like the Vikings have,
yeah.
You're not going to get a hold of him if he has any good games in the first 6 weeks. You're not going to get him. It's over. You could try and trade Malik Nabers straight up for JJ, and you will not get him with one or two good performances out of the box. Okay? So that's where the QB value, it depends on how you build. If you like drafting the best talent above anything else, then it's Nabers. Of course, it's Nabers. And then you could take Nabers and trade him for an asset that you believe in. You can do that. But if you want to take JJ, I am not going to ridicule you for doing so. That makes sense.
So you think JJ should be in that tier with Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers?
I think he's right outside of it, just right outside. Okay.
Yeah, because I've got tier two is Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels, and I've got three players in my tier three. I've got, in this order again, Drake May, because I still like the talent significantly better. And they did a good job drafting a few wide receivers for him, which we'll chat about a little bit later. Then I got J.J. McCarthy for all the reasons you just noted. I am not a big J.J. McCarthy guy, but listen, the kid wins. The kid is a winner, and that goes a long way. And he's got the receiving core. He's got
so many people to prop him up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so he's pretty good there. And then I got Romo Odunze because, listen, he ended up in a terrible spot, but I'm not going to fade the talent. I'm just not going to fit the talent. Keenan Allen is kind of the same thing you talked about with Michael Penix. Like, you might have to be a little bit of patient with Romo Odunze in terms of immediate production, but in a year, you're so happy you've got him because he's an absolute and utter stud. So those are my three guys there. So is Drake May in that tier with you, or is he like completely even out of that tier?
No, Drake I said that whoever goes to New England's dead to me. And I believe that 100%. I know you're a Patriots guy. I have zero faith in what those guys are doing. I was really cooling on Drake May after hearing more about him and getting more about how accurate he is with a clean pocket. Even with a clean pocket, he's the worst quarterback from within the clean pocket of any of these quarterbacks, any of them. Okay, that's even Spencer Rattler. Okay, so that tells me that if you can't make the layups, that is mental. That is a mental thing when you're that physically gifted, man. But it, like I said, it's funny. It's like an arbitrage value pick for me. If you are a Drake May guy, why the hell would you draft Drake May? Just draft Michael Penix and play him in 2 years. It's going to take Drake May 2 years to be fantasy relevant, okay? 2 years.
Yeah, but so in terms of just like game theory there, in terms of super flex, you can still put Drake May in.
You can still play him. I get it. You can still get points. But he has opened injuries for 2 years. Versus Penix, where Penix can just hang out, get stronger, get better, get groomed for becoming the guy. Drake May is going to get absolutely freaking hammered every single game, dude. I am telling you that Drake May, if Drake May is a QB, top 15 QB in fantasy, and he starts day one, I will literally eat a wet sponge on stream next year. Okay. And I am dead serious. Like, I just don't see how they can do that without going to get a veteran wide receiver like a Ayuk or a T. Higgins, or I just think you're going to be waiting on him for a while. I love Javon Baker. I'm a Javon Baker guy. I like him better than Polk. So I'll be drafting Javon over Polk in my drafts for sure. But, man, I'm telling you, I think Drake May is outside my top eight right now, even though he is a quarterback. And I was cooling on the talent. I was cooling on it. And then pre-draft, I said it. Patriots, whoever goes to the Patriots is dead to me. I'm not drafting them.
So it's a dead pick. Just to be clear for the people, you're not saying draft Drake May – or sorry, draft Michael Penix above Drake May. What you're saying you would rather wait into mid-round two, draft Penix, versus taking Drake May at the top half.
And waiting 2 years. And still waiting 2 years.
Well, like, I mean, why would you change? Like, they did – listen, I agree with you that the Patriots still need a lot of work. If they were somehow able to go and get a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk, these guys who were kind of unhappy with their current situation,
that would make me change a little bit.
Yeah, then I would definitely change it too. But this is what they've done, okay? So, obviously, they took Drake May at 1.3. At the top of round two, they went with Jalen Polk, which, listen, I don't mind Polk. He's fine. He's not an alpha. He's not a one, in my opinion. The fact that they kept training back, I didn't love, right? Mm. So they could have they had an opportunity to get a better player if they decided to trade up, not trade back, excuse me. But listen, so they got Jalen Polk, but then they drafted an offensive tackle in round three. They drafted a guard in round four. Then they drafted another wide receiver, Javon Baker, out of UCF at pick 410. And then they went kind of miscellaneous. Although they did get Joe Milton, which is for those. Yeah, he's got a huge arm, but that's about
it. Of course.
In round six. But I mean, listen, they did a lot of good things to help Drake May, but yeah, there's still so much work to do. But okay, so
I just feel like there's 2 years. I know we are. Yeah, I've been seeing drafts go down already, and I already know that I am I'm way different than a lot of people.
Below consensus on Drake May. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next tier here, because this is, in my opinion, kind of where it gets interesting. So this is my fourth tier. I've got three guys in this tier again. I've got Xavier Worthy. Of course, he went to the Chiefs, which is an absolute perfect landing spot, right?
God. How happy were you? Were you just fist pumping, going, screw those guys? Screw them.
No. To me, my analysis of Adonai Mitchell being a back half round two type player and him falling, 2.2? Yeah, 2.2 is where he ended up going to the Colts. Like, I felt far more vindicated in that assessment than I did with Xavier Worthy, because listen, he could have ended up anywhere. Okay, let me ask you this question, Brandon, because the Chiefs traded up with the Bills. The Bills traded back.
What a big mistake.
So they passed on it. Listen, the Bills passed on Xavier Worthy. They then effectively passed on Ladd McConkey because the Chargers took him at 2.2 because they traded back a second time.
Idiot.
How do you feel about that for Keon Coleman? It's just like, if you're a Bills fan.
I'm not a Keon Coleman guy.
But?
But
he seems like a chill ass guy, doesn't he?
Fuck, man. He's awesome. So cool. He's awesome on the mic.
Yeah.
I will say this, dude. I like seeing wide receivers walk into opportunity like that.
Yeah.
And that means a lot to me. I've only been burned on it one time, and that was with Treylon Burks. But that strategy has paid dividends for me in the past over and over and over again.
Generally
speaking, when a guy gets, you can tell he was targeted. They've targeted him. That's who they wanted. That was their guy. And they're telling me that I just want him to be a flanker. I want him to get some time in the slot as a big slot.
Yeah.
But I just don't want him. If they come out in a press conference and go, yep, he's going to be our boundary wide receiver. He's our X. He's our Gabe Davis. I'm fucking out. Like, I am out if I hear that. If I hear we're going to move him around, we're going to get him in good matchups, and we're going to get him off the line of scrimmage a little bit, then I'm more interested.
Oh, boy. So you talk about maybe like playing him as a big slot. In college, this is in 2023, he played 31% of the snaps out of the slot. So the NFL, assuming they play him similar to – it's like you'd almost want it closer to 50-50.
Yep.
Right.
I want him to be 50-50, but they also got Curtis Samuel, and that's all he plays.
Is a slot. Yeah.
And Khalil Shakir can do it. And then he's got Dalton Kincaid who can do it. That's my problem. That's why I'm saying move him to the flanker where Puka plays. Make him play like Puka. I like him on the run. I like him with the ball in his hands. He's a better football player. His speed is hard to stop when he gets going. It's when he gets jammed up at the line of scrimmage where he has to play in a phone booth a little bit is where he struggles. Even though he's big and monstrous, he struggles, which is kind of crazy to me. But that's why I want him to get some flanker opportunity, man. If he gets that, I'm in. And I'm in a big way. My new strategy in a lot of moving into the future is targeting the flanker wide receiver. That is the new niche place for the wide receivers of the modern day football. All these guys, the Pukas, the Cooper Kupps when he had his rise, that is the kind of that's what I'm looking for now. I'm looking for that now. That's I think that's where they, it's almost because there's been such utter failure at the exposition coming out of the draft that I think the modern football, I think coaches are kind of changing their tune on how to use some guys that were X wide receivers and they can move them over. That's what I think is going to happen with Adonai Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell is going to be for the Colts is going to be that flanker. It's just, he's not going to have a lot of volume. He's just not going to have a lot of volume at all.
No, he's not. He's just not. It's going to be like Pittman's going to like, I think Pittman's going to regress a little bit from the targets.
Little bit, not a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so let's keep going in terms of our tier. So Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, Brock Bowers. How do you feel about Brock Bowers that kind of that late at the 110? Are you okay with that, or do you think we need to go higher?
Oh, dude, you're talking to the fade tight end specialist. Like, okay, I think that's where I'm totally okay with that. Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, Brian, because this is huge. How high would you take Brock Bowers in a two tight end league where you're forced to start two? Four overall?
Yeah, four.
So you're essentially taking, okay.
Four or five. I would probably five.
Probably five. So you want JJ McCarthy and Jaden Daniels above him, and then you're willing to take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're gonna see him in two tight end leagues. He's gonna go 102, 103.
I think so too, which is wild to me. Absolutely wild. Okay. Let's move on. So I've got tier five. I've got a big contingent of players here in tier five. Okay. This is kind of where, in my book, it opens wide up. Okay. So we've got Ricky Pearsall, which I've got him ahead of consensus. I think I'm going to be higher than you. Ladd McConkey, of course, went to the Chargers. I'm okay maybe flip-flopping those guys. But then I finally have my first running back off the board. I did end up going with Jonathan Brooks. He went to pick 214 to the Carolina Panthers. Then I've got Bo Nix. Then I've got Keon Coleman, mostly because of that situation. And then Trey Benson going to the Cardinals. I love that, man. This year might not be fantastic, but moving forward, I low-key love Trey Benson going to the Cardinals. And that's my tier five. So anybody in there that should or that shouldn't be vice versa?
I think Nix is going to be in his own tier.
It's not sexy, right?
It's not sexy right now. It's not. People are going to be saying, yeah, well, I'm going to go wide receiver at the very end. I'm going to go nothing but wide receiver from 109 all the way through 112. No, you're not.
No.
No, the fuck you aren't. Like, in Superflex, are you kidding me? You got a starting QB that was handpicked by a contingent that had very little draft cap, then goes on to pair him with his own wide receiver from college that was his number one. And you're telling me you're not going to take him at the 109? You're out of your mind. You got it.
Like, do you think Bo Nix should be at the top of that tier?
I think I'm putting Bo Nix at the very top of that tier. QB scarcity is a big deal. We waited for this draft class to replenish QBs. I'm telling you, if you are a QB hungry team, and you end up trading back out. Let's say you don't like a Bowers, and somebody wants to go take a Bowers at seven. Yep. You could trade all the way back to 12 and take Bo Nix every time.
I think consistently, Brandon, people are going to be taking Jonathan Brooks. People are going to be taking Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall. People might even be taking Keon Coleman and Trey Benson ahead of Bo Nix right now.
Yep.
That's why I kind of have him sandwiched right in between that tier. I'm comfortable taking – listen, if you want to take Bo Nix because you've got a need, there's an opportunity. The thing is, I don't feel like Bo Nix was a round one talent. I just don't think he was. The Broncos did not have a round two pick. They couldn't trade up, and clearly they couldn't trade back. So they essentially had no choice but to go and take Bo Nix. I bet you if they traded back to, like, the 20s, he probably would have freaking still been there. Like
– no.
No,
I think Bo Nix would have been a Raider at that point.
Did you see? Maybe
the Raider. I think the Saints. I think the Saints would have took him too. Remember, those are the same people that Drew Brees played for, right? So he is. If you look back at our pre-draft analysis with Matt and I, when I spoke about Bo Nix, I said he's going to be a Bronco from the get. I think he fits exactly what Sean Payton wants. He wants a guy that he can play video games with, that's going to listen and do what he wants and not stray outside of the system whatsoever and just do what he wants. So Bo Nix is that guy. He will do that. When you're talking about a quarterback that was taken in the top 12 draft cap, you can't take a Ricky Pearsall over him. That's going to the Niners that got Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, McCaffrey. Ricky Pearsall will have some splash games, but he won't be anybody that's going to win you a league or anybody that's going to help you get to the playoffs this year. I think Bo Nix can do that. I think a Bo Nix can do what a I think he could totally do that. So he could if he can do what the Broncos want, I think he's going to end up throwing the ball more than people. I think that's going to end up happening with him. Sorry. You there?
Sorry, man. Yeah, I'm here. We can hear you, Brandon.
I think Bo Nix is going to end up being a high riser over the next month in Superflux.
You may be right. Again, I don't have a lot of confidence in the player in general, but in terms of positional scarcity, I can kind of see that argument. My general love and adoration for Ricky Pearsall, and then the fact that he went to the Niners in round one. Brandon Ayuk's not going to be there potentially in too much longer in the future. Debo Samuel is not the same player he used to be, and there's low-key trade talks with Debo Samuel as well. So, I mean, if you're fading situation, Ricky Pearsall to me stands to be at the top of that tier, but I totally understand having any one of these players above him, including Ladd McConkey, Jonathan Brooks, or the aforementioned Bo Nix. Do you want to keep talking about a few of my tiers here, Brandon? You good? Brandon, you there?
Go ahead.
Okay, let's talk about my tier six. No. So tier six, I kind of have like a smaller contingent of players here. I got Xavier Leggett, who of course the Carolina Panthers traded up for, and they took Leggett at the end of round one. And then I got Michael Penix finally in that tier because I'm okay taking Michael Penix at any position here. However, the issue with Xavier Leggett was the fact that Leggett was drafted essentially based on 1 year of production, Brandon.
Right.
I'm just talking about with this next tier here with Xavier Leggett and Michael Penix. Now I've got Leggett ahead of Penix based on the fact that Carolina traded up. The problem is, it seems like the Carolina Panthers keep doubling down on this exact same archetype of player.
It's just Mingo's not that guy. You're talking about Mingo, right?
Yes.
I don't think he's the same archetype. I think Leggett is a freak athlete. I don't think Mingo's a freak athlete. I think he's pretty good athlete, but I think Leggett is legitimately a clone of what DK came out as. But with him is the fact that he dealt with not a great team. Rattler was not that awesome at South Carolina. I think there would have been earlier production without personal problems that he was dealing with off the field. But I get it. I totally understand late breakout 1 year. He's so much better of an athlete than Kelvin Benjamin. It's not close, but I get what you're saying. I just don't like Bryce Young all that much, to be honest, but they really did help him out in this draft. So I have Leggett a smidge ahead of Penix right now, but then not by much.
Yeah, and this is an age-oldism for Alan Sosnowski. It says sometimes it's not the frequency as much as it is the magnitude, right? And he had such a fantastic 2023 that, that's what got him drafted in the first round. We got a question here from Scooby Taylor, and this is kind of an interesting one because it really depends on, I think, your general belief in how to handle a dynasty roster. So this is from Scooby Taylor. He says he needs help. In a dynasty superflex, would you trade away Josh Allen for a package essentially? So it's Tua, two future firsts, projected late. So let's call it the 1.8 later, and two future seconds also projected late. Man,
yes.
Here's the thing. It's probably, if you throw it into a trade calculator, it's probably similar. But if you're in a position to win this year, which I'm assuming if you're talking about trading away Josh Allen, you're not in a position to win this year.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, if you're clearly rebuilding, then I don't have a problem with this.
Nope.
Generally speaking, I like to keep the best player. But, I mean, you look at it this year, right? I mean, rolling the dice next year, apparently, it's not as deep of a quarterback class, which is another reason why the Denver Broncos probably went with Bo Nix, right? That's just another reason why Atlanta probably went with Michael Penix. Like, it makes sense.
100%.
Next year is expected to be a stronger running back class, but we do know the running back position is devalued. Okay, so take that for what it is. And then the wide receiver class, I know there's a few guys at the top, but honestly, I don't think it's as strong as this year because this is one of the best years ever. So the general consensus is next year's class isn't as good as this year, but listen, when you're in the heat of it this time next year, I'm sure there'll be a good solid 10, 12 guys that are just like, we're drooling over just like we are this year.
Of course.
So,
of course.
I think it's okay.
It's value-wise, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
I get it. I actually, my hot take of the offseason is that Allen won't be a top five quarterback this year. Why? I don't think he'll be
receivers?
In redraft. I don't think there's enough firepower. I think they're going to shift to a rushing style to win in the playoffs. I think this is a philosophy change and culture change. They want to control the ball more, and they know that Allen makes mistakes. And when he has to throw it like he's been, he will make mistakes. I just don't see him doing it this year. I mean, unless he scores, you know, crazy amount of rush touchdowns, it's possible for sure, but I don't like the talent around him. And I think without a Keon Coleman having a monster year, like I'm talking like if Keon Coleman isn't a wide receiver 15, he is not a top five guy. I think it's that simple to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, having a stud like Stephon Diggs really does make a difference for your team. Huge difference. I'm just looking at the team that they built around him. Of course, they drafted Ray Davis. They went and got Keon Coleman. But they've got James Cook, Ty Johnson's behind them. And they got Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid. Like, I could see, because they don't really have a strong rushing game, right? Like, just pure gap scheme rushing. Like, that's not what
they will with, built on. I mean, with Ray, I think they're going to they're going to be better this year, I think.
But then is that going to mean James Cook is just going to be a third down back? Like, they're going to use James Cook on the first and second down.
No, right? I'm telling you, less pass attempts, more rush.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Brandon. Like, I see the logic in what you're saying because they don't have a wide receiver core. But when you look at who they've built around them, especially if you want to use Keon Coleman like a big slot, it's all short A dot players where instead of having James Cook rush the ball 18, 19 times, you can't trust Ray Davis to do that. So it's going to be a little dink and dunk passing and hoping that Keon Coleman can make some space and go get the ball deep.
You're making my point. I think the A-dot's going to come significantly down. But I don't think the yards are going to be there.
But they don't have a strong running back core either. Like, they don't have any big bruising running backs.
I think their running backs are better than their wide receiver core by a ton.
But their skill set is not gap schemes up the middle. Like, that's not how they're going to win. Like, that's not how James Cook wins.
They have Dawson Knox. They got Dalton Kincaid. They tried to shift last year hybrid to the two tight end set. Diggs hated it. Diggs did not want it. Diggs would not block. Diggs was not okay with that. That is why they got themselves a big-ass wide receiver that's going to be blocking fools into the sidelines like a DK Metcalf. And I'm telling you, go back and look at the Seattle Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl. That is what this offense is going to look like with Zach Miller.
Watch. But they had a big bruising running back in Marshawn Lynch.
But they got two great. They got two. I'm not shitting on Ray Davis. I think Ray Davis is okay.
It's fine.
I think he's pretty good. He's more athletic than I gave him credit for. He ran faster than I thought, but he's thick body running back that's going to be able to take some pressure off of Cook. Cook is going to slasher. It's more, it's almost like a LaDainian White and a Chris Johnson type backfield. That's what it looks like to me. Well, that is going to end up being. And then you got a horse like Josh Allen in the back that's still going to run and get rush touchdowns. But I just don't see it.
Yeah, what pisses me off with this whole thing is they could have gone out and gotten Audric Estime. They could have gone out and gotten Kamani Madal. Like, these are players that they could have gone in and drafted to have a more robust.
They obviously targeted Ray Davis. They targeted him. They didn't have to force that pick at all. They got, so maybe they got the guy they wanted.
So maybe we're too low on Ray Davis.
We might.
I'm just talking through this process, right? Maybe we're too low on Ray Davis.
He's got value because I don't think he's going to be like a league winning value. Like, the only time he's going to be a league winner is if James Cook is off, gone, hurt. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a mix of a backfield there. And Cook is going to be fine because he can pass catch. But I'm telling you, Ray Davis is going to get more work than people think, except for Trash Man. He knows. Matt knows.
Yeah, Matt definitely knows. Yeah, maybe I got to move.
That's tough. Allen is a fade to me. I sold him on a team that I had A. Rich and Josh Allen, okay? I got rid of Josh Allen because I needed to rebuild that team. I rebuilt him. I got Caleb and Drake London in the deal for it.
Yeah.
And for Allen, and I'm so happy I did it. Like, I am so happy I did it because I just don't see that they're changing their culture, brother. I'm telling you. They tried the all-out pass offense. It didn't work. The only way you could beat a Patrick Mahomes is by running the damn ball. The only way.
Keep the ball out of his damn hands. No, it's interesting because all of their moves are suggesting that you're 100% bang on, that they want to transition more to a rushing game than a passing game.
They're cold weather team. But cold they weather. Need,
like, the I mean, I was going to bring up Ezekiel Elliott. Like, Elliott would have been great Buffalo Bill. Just to grind some.
They had Lenny Fournette last year. Why do that? They had Leonard Fournette last year.
They didn't activate him at all. They never activated him at all. That was kind of bizarre.
Did you see how he looked like he came in? The dude was on trend or something. Like, he was on some kind of steroid. He was he looked ridiculous.
He looked jacked up.
Yeah, he looked like he could piss through a cup. Yes.
That's awesome. I like that one.
Like acid. I'm serious.
Yeah. Okay, here. Let's round out round two here. It's my last or seventh tier that we're going to talk about. But this is a big one. These are all players I like, but kind of dropped a little bit in the draft. Maybe didn't end up in the best spot. Right at the top here, I love Jalen Wright. I know this year he might not be the best. But Jalen Wright is a quick-ass player, and it's just added to the track team, man. So Jalen Wright, I got right at the top because I want exposure. I want exposure to Jalen Wright. I got Roman Wilson go to the Steelers, which he's going to be obviously the Deontay Johnson replacement.
Another one of my favorites.
Yeah, like that. And just hopefully that at least they can have one good quarterback out of the two that they have there. Then it went Jalen Polk. Draft capital kind of spoke here. I'm kind of lukewarm on this, but Jalen Polk, that's about probably where he's going to go. So I'm okay with that. And then finally, the aforementioned Adonai Mitchell. Now, I could be convinced to put Adonai Mitchell above Jalen Polk, but this is about where he's probably going to be going now, right? He fell to the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have a decent core in front of them, right? Like, they've got JT, they got Anthony Richardson, they're going to be running the ball. Then they've got Michael Pittman. And Josh Downs. Josh Downs is going to be low-key probably the slot player. But Adonai Mitchell should probably play a little bit of slot too, right?
What everybody thinks quote of the offseason.
Yeah.
What everybody is drafting Josh Allen to be, Anthony Richardson will become this year. Okay? Everything is lining up. I love how Anthony Richardson is sitting right now. Like, I just took him at 106 in a startup, in a big dollar, $500 startup. And wow. I couldn't be
where'd you take
more
him?
Happy. Spot? 106.
106, okay.
That's where I took
but him.
But where
he's going, yeah.
I took him above Justin Jefferson. I took him above Joe. I took him above Caleb. I took him above all the wide receivers. I think with the addition of Adonai Mitchell. And with Adonai Mitchell, with the second year jump of a Josh Downs, mm-hmm. I think that offense is flipping loaded. And I don't expect Anthony Richardson to have a lot of pass attempts. I don't expect mm-hmm. that. But I think he is going to have playmakers galore. So I think his accuracy is going to go up this year. I think his rush is what it is. He's going to be a superstar rusher of the football. Like ridiculous.
Let me ask you something, Brandon. You know how so the NFL just passed that rule where those I can't remember what those caps are called, but like those protective caps you wear on top of your helmet. The chances are that Anthony Richardson's going to go rock one of those, right? Because he had the concussions last year, right? It'd be perfect. Never.
I swear to God, if he does, I'll trade him on principle for that.
No, I'm going to trade for him. Respect, man.
No, I am a caveman of cavemen.
It's like those basketball players, Brandon, wear like the full on face masks. To avoid like their face being broken. That's what it reminds me of, right?
A bunch of babies. Yes. I'm not going to do it. You're showing how Canadian you are, Shane. Let's not do that. Guardian caps for A-Rich, I would be pissed. But I'm telling you, A-Rich is going to be what everybody wants Josh Allen to be this year. This is a big year for him. I think it's going to be a monster.
No, it's going to be great. So then just to finish out that tier, I've got Marshawn Wade.
Tier, I'm taking Jalen Wright. I am taking my flag plant the running back position before pre-draft. This kid has all the traits. And when you get a guy that has the traits and then you get him paired with a rushing mastermind of a McDaniels, and if you fade him, shame on you. You are gonna get bitten every time. This has nothing to do with Achane. It has to do with Mozart is old as all get out. Okay, he's right? old, 32 years old at a running back. And for some crazy way, he made it through the season last year healthy. That is not going to happen again. If you own Raheem Mostert, you better sell him right now. You better sell him. I'm telling you right now, he is going to lose touches to Wright. And the first time Raheem Mostert goes down for a hamstring, an ankle, anything, a knee, Jalen Wright is going to take that job. Because he is unbelievably explosive. And that is the type of scheme I want Jalen Wright in, man. A spread offense where he can just gouge people. And that's what's going to happen.
Okay, we got a question here from Clip. What do we feel about the pedigree and landing spot for McCaffrey? I don't know, man. Like, Luke McCaffrey, I had a really hard time ranking him. I've got him currently in my pick 311. Of course, he went at the end of the third round at 3.37 to the Washington Commanders. I mean, the only reason you're drafting him, Clip, is because of that, right? I feel like he got overdrafted in the NFL.
I think he just, Javon Baker over Luke McCaffrey every time for me. Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's how I have it. But okay, we got to talk about this player before we get out of here, Brandon. We're almost at an hour. The bottom of that tier is Troy Franklin. I had him there. He went to the Denver Broncos. We already talked about it. He played college at Oregon with Bo Nix. Bo Nix and Troy Franklin got each other drafted. Franklin, for those of you who don't know, listen, he was not feeling well. And this is maybe a total BS excuse, bogus excuse. But he had already put on weight at his pro day following the combine. He wasn't feeling well at the combine. He had a horrendous combine, including a brutal gauntlet drill. It just looked not good.
It was one of the worst combine performances I've seen in a while.
But if you're trying to do these things with the flu, man, good luck. Good luck to you, right? Like, and it's really hard to balance out the BS. Yeah. But Brandon, you were the guy that got me on to Troy Franklin throughout this entire process, just because at the very, very start, when we were just, it was just based off of the love of the game. You were just watching the games live. The player that jumped off the page to you was Troy Franklin. Yep. And you go back to
my wide receiver four.
Yeah, he looked fantastic. So to get him at the end of round two, just because if that's a flag plant, I'm cool with that being a flag plant. I'm going to flag plant a guy like Troy Franklin. Amen. And then you look at that depth chart. It's him, Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton might not be there in a year or two. Like, to me, that's the value of value right there.
Marvin Mims, that's it.
Yeah, I like Mims, but he's not as good as Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin is the only reason he dropped was because of his drop rate. He has a high drop rate, much like an Xavier Worthy. They have similar profiles in that manner. Underweight, but he's taller. He's like 6'2 and some change.
He had nine drops just for the people. He had nine drops, which was one of the worst, which was the worst in the class in 2023.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, but he's also got one of the highest volume. He had major volume going to him throughout his college career. So, but I'm just saying this. I like him a lot. I'm happy that he dropped in the real draft because now I get him at a value. I don't got to take him in the first round anymore where I thought I would have to. But now it's actually the risk is very small with him where you're going to be able to get him because of his production profile. I think he's going to be a steal. I'm not going to say, he's going to be Puka, but like, I'm going to say that he is going to be the guy that we're all going to go like a year from now going like, damn, we could have got him at 212 or, at the 3-1. And we ended up not because we wanted to get in on somebody wanted to be high on a Kamani Vidal or Javon Baker or something like that. Or people will make up excuses to take him because he has such a bad combine. But I like Troy Franklin. He is not going to drop in drafts in my drafts. He will get taken at good, decent value. I'm excited to take him. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Just a few things to kind of put the bow on here. What we like to see is start of day two, so top of round two. What are the players after they've gone home, they've reevaluated the boards, who are the players that they want to take? The same thing goes for day three. Right, pick 4.02 was the second pick of day three, and the Denver Broncos also traded up for him. Right, so they obviously
targeted him, man.
Yeah, they specifically targeted him, so they wanted to get this guy on their team. There's a pretty thin depth chart ahead of them. They've got the college quarterback. Like you, this is about as perfect as it could have gotten.
It's for nuts. A Troy Franklin. This is perfect. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we're cool with that. I like. Why can't he be Michael Thomas, but fast? What, he can run slants. Like I don't see why he can't fucking run slants and get draped with targets. I don't see why not. Cortland Sutton could get moved over to the flanker. I don't see why not.
This was his specialty in college. Okay, so his highest targeted route was the hitch route. Okay, his at 30 targets and 21 receptions. His second highest targeted route was slant. He was targeted 20 times. He had 12 receptions for 200 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, he can do it all. He's got a pretty diverse route tree, which we love to see. He can go the go route. He did. He was targeted 16 times on the go route. He had three touchdowns. So he can
do more than a Michael Thomas.
Yeah, he can do more. He gets separation. He's a great player. Love it.
Yeah, all right, Brandon, like him a lot.
Is there anybody we didn't talk about today that you're like, we got to go and get this player? Because there's one guy that I know we talked about before the show, but who's somebody that you're willing to spend a little bit more capital on at the top of round three here, just to make sure you get them on your team?
We talked about a lot of stuff. What?
Oh, you're playing coy. Tell me. I think Dylan Lobby is the guy that we want to be targeting higher up on our draft.
We already talked about him. That's why.
So I'm good with that. Yeah, Audric Estime, I'm good on. Javon Baker, he's a player that I'm comfortable taking a shot on anywhere in this range. And what about Tez Walker? Kez Walker kind of fell. He went to the Baltimore Ravens, which we don't love, right? Rashad Bateman was re-signed there. But Malik Washington, man, another quickster. Slot maven fell to the Miami Dolphins. How do we feel about that?
I like that a lot. They needed a wide receiver three. He's going to be awesome. They're going to throw him in the slot, let him eat. But the guy that I think people really aren't talking about is freaking A. Who was that?
Dang receiver, it. Running back.
I just spaced. Anyways, I just want – we haven't spoke at all about Caleb Williams on this pod.
No.
None.
You and okay, I haven't?
None. We have not spoke about Caleb at all, really. So, Caleb Williams, what the Bears did for Caleb Williams is
masterclass.
If you own the 101, you couldn't be happier. You really couldn't. Like, if you have any, Caleb Williams is a better thrower of the football than your guy, Jalen Hurts, today. I think Jalen Hurts is totally within the realm of possibility for a Caleb Williams.
Upside.
I think he's going to be, by next year, I've said it over and over again, he's going to be QB5 in Dynasty next year in when we start drafting next year in startups. Mm-hmm. So if you own the 101, just draft him. Be excited. Everything is perfect. Rome Wilson, he's going to end up being – if he drops into the 108, if Roma Dunze goes to 108 in any of these drafts for some reason, just be so excited. Like, I think he's going to drop in some of these drafts where QB needy teams are going to jump up and they're going to end up taking guys. So I love Roma Dunze as a value. Malachi Corley is another guy. Flipping love where he went to with the Jets. Yep. He is going to be so fun to watch with Garrett Wilson on the outside and watching this kid tear it up in the slot. And even though Garrett Wilson is a slot guy too, I think they're going to share the slot quite a bit. I hope they give Malachi a little bit more of a job. Maybe get over on the flanker drive routes a little bit, get them out and coming across formations, letting them get on the run, letting them get ahead of speed. Nobody is going to take him down. Between him and Malik Nabers, nobody has made more people made two defenders miss more than anybody in college football besides Malik Nabers. So just know that Malachi Corley is going to be a dog out there, and he's going to be a value that I like. I'm going to target a little bit on him. I'm going to have myself some Malachi.
I've got Corley baked in at 3.3. I had a really hard time deciding between these two players. I got them in the same tier, but Jermaine Burton went to the Cincinnati Bengals. He's going to be the Tyler Boyd replacement, and then Malachi Corley going to the Jets. I had a really hard time ranking those two guys. I ended up going with Jermaine Burton a little bit higher. Just because I like talent a little bit more. Okay, so comfortable with
that. I do too, because I think Burton is T. Higgins' replacement in 2025.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect, right? He starts as a three. He starts in the slot.
Easy.
Learns the game a little bit. One hot take, because we didn't really talk about Brian Thomas, which low-key, man, I freaking love that landing spot for him. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. And this was kind of one of my hot takes we talked about in the draft. Trevor Lawrence, I think he's going to finish ahead of Joe Burrow this year in fantasy football.
I like it. Yeah, I like Trevor Lawrence. I had him making the leap last year, but I think with the injury, he had a lot of injuries this last year, late halfway through the season. And then with all the injuries to his wide receiver core, he's got a completely redone wide receiver core this year. Getting rid of Calvin Ridley, replacing him with a Brian Thomas Jr. I like Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a massive, massive buy, I think, for a lot of teams. You can get him as your QB2 with ease in startups right now. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on Trevor Lawrence. I like that a lot.
All right, brother. Let's get the hell out of here. We are just getting started because there's still so much to talk about. We didn't even talk about best ball. We didn't talk about the later rounds in the draft, which is how you find some of those late gems. But we're going to get to it all off season. Brandon, man, another fantastic NFL draft. So DFSArmy.com, go check it out. That's, of course, where we hail from. So for Brandon, I'm Flex Shane, and we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show.